You know that feeling you get when you think your phone is listening to you? Let's discuss that with digital strategist Scott Kleinberg. Scott, we've been talking about this, and there is a lot to unpack. Let's start with this, and I've tried to answer this question here unsuccessfully. Are our phones listening to our conversations?
I think the unsuccessful streak might continue, Bob. So, good morning. The answer to your question is mostly no with some yes. Now, how's that for non-committal, right? And the reason is because there's some element of listening going on, but it's not what people usually think. Using the example of, let's say, you talk about a trip to Florida with a friend in the room, and you almost immediately seem to get Instagram ads about hotels in Florida.
But that right there, that's what makes us stop in our tracks. What's actually going on with that?
So think about what happens as you discuss certain things, okay? You're planning a trip. You may check a website for airfares or rental car options. You may ask Siri or Alexa for what the normal high temperatures are in Florida for the month you're going. You might bookmark a hotel website. You're on Facebook and you visit a page about Florida. You like an Instagram post of a Florida sunset. That's what people do when planning a trip, right? So then when you have a conversation and you see ads, you think your phone must be listening. It is. It's listening via the permissions you gave it when you said it's okay for Siri or Alexa to listen for your voice. It's actually listening in the form of cookies when you go to a website.
Right. So it's coincidental, kind of, or is it?
Yeah, kind of. That's closer, yes, but think of it this way, and let's use Facebook as an example. Every single thing you do on Facebook feeds into its algorithm, and I mean everything, even the things you don't remember doing. From I belong to a group but never participate in that group, to liking that one photo years ago, and it's, you know, using your Facebook account to sign into another website. That's another one, because you don't want to add another password to your long list of passwords.
Right. So is there a middle ground, meaning we're not going to quit social media? Nobody can live without their phones anymore. What can we do to share as little as possible? You know, when I see that that thing about the cookies, I mean, sometimes you have to accept, don't you?
You do, but you do have that option where sometimes it says approve all, sometimes it says look deeper, sometimes it says reject all. Don't always be so quick to hit approve all, because sometimes you have some options under that cookie menu.
Well, okay. And the other thing, you mentioned the settings that you can set your phone so it's not okay for Siri or Alexa to listen. Is that right?
Yeah. And you might remember when Apple released iOS 14.5 for iPhones. This is going on a few years now. After that, you started to see all of these messages pop up that say things like ask app not to track, which is just as it sounds. It's a blocker from those sites keeping track of where you've been.
Continuing with digital media strategist Scott Kleinberg, and we were talking about those messages that say ask app not to track, and Scott, you say definitely say yes to that, right?
Yes, absolutely. It's a middle ground, because you're still being tracked, but anytime there's an effort to limit that tracking, consumers always win. On the other side of the coin, the tech companies and advertisers that don't want you to opt out of that tracking, they're going to tell you that it's a way for you to see the most relevant digital ads that are tailored to you. Maybe, but it goes so far beyond that, because the information that's out there about you is actually usually for sale. And if it's in the wrong hands, it can be bad.
And getting back to Siri and Alexa, is that where we go wrong, where we allow this form of listening?
That's another yes and no type of answer, because summoning Google or Siri or Alexa is a lot like opening a browser window, meaning your data can still be collected, oftentimes for advertising or marketing purposes. To use these features, we have to agree to the terms and conditions. You know, that's the document the size of War and Peace, that single space that you use three fingers to scroll through because you just want to get to the bottom to check that box that says, I agree to the terms and conditions.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it you know, and you absolutely have no idea what's in there. We're all guilty to this to a certain degree, but, you know, in this case, those terms and conditions, that's what allows our data to be collected so that we can harness all the wonders and conveniences of voice-assisted programs like Siri and Alexa. And just like everything else, you know, you have to read the fine print.
Can we see the kinds of information being tracked about us if we want to? Can we see that?
It depends on the platform, but you can. I mean, Apple has a button in the Safari browser that actually shows you all the sites your selection when you said do not track prevented tracking on. Facebook settings provide you with a look at every advertiser you've ever interacted with. That's fascinating. And that might ultimately explain why every ad you get seems to be like it's for an air fryer or an office chair.
You said before that you can learn a lot if you take 15 minutes to scroll through the settings. I think you need to take a couple of weeks to come upon all of the things that you can do with your phone and you're not aware of it.
Bob, when I meet somebody who has a couple of weeks, I want to shake their hand. And, you know, honestly, some of life's biggest mysteries can be solved in a settings menu. It's true. These menus are often like the terms and conditions we talked about. Somewhere, say 28 screens in, and I'm not really exaggerating, is a list that highlights your obsession with air fryers and office chairs. And it may be a lot of work to get there. I put in the work because on Facebook, at least you can decide what types of content you want to interact with. You can check and uncheck a few boxes. Most people who end up taking me up on the offer to go through the settings, they usually walk away with, I don't remember interacting with that ad, but now I know I won't see it again. And it's more about the little wins in privacy. You can't control everything. There's no such thing as true privacy online. You make that decision when you go online the very first time. But you do often have some say into how your data is used, whether that's through the settings or reading those terms and conditions.
But to close the loop on listening, it is complicated, hopefully less so after this conversation, hopefully.
Hopefully. But, you know, one other way to explain it is like this. What's ultimately listening to you is an algorithm, a very sophisticated, complex algorithm. But algorithms listen without a recording device. They don't use a microphone. So to prevent this from happening, you'd have to pretty much quit social media or quit tech altogether. But as we previously discussed, that's not likely to happen.
I can't wait to tell my wife I want to go on a vacation just with my phone to learn about what's in settings.
She's going to love that.
Back to the cookies for a minute. This is a good question from the text line. When you get the accept cookies prompt and just close the pop-up without clicking on the accept or more info buttons, what does that do?
It depends on the website. It's a great question. It depends on the website. Some websites require you to actually do it, so you can't do that. If you close the window and ignore it, I always assume that means that I've given approval because it assumes that you're okay with it. I always make sure if I have the choice between the buttons, I never close the window outright. I always make sure that I'm doing the reject or selecting it correctly because if you're on the same computer, that's the whole point of a cookie. It remembers you. If you're on the same computer and you do it once, you shouldn't ever get it again.
Let's keep the Genius Bar open here for a question about battery charging. And this message, let's see, charge your battery only to 80% that some people get. What's that all about?
It basically is saying that the life of your battery, it will last longer if instead of charging every time, you charge only to 80% and let your phone go down on there. Now, to be clear, it's not going to save your battery for years and years and years. It might add a few months. It might add a year. When your battery gets old, it gets old. But the thought process by the tech companies, and rightfully so, is if you don't need your battery to charge to 100% because you're only going to discharge it and recharge it again, charge it to 80, let it go down and do it from there. It just provides a little bit more life in terms of the total time of the battery. And the good news is if you select that 80%, it's very easy just to hit a button that changes it to 100. So you're never actually without power, but it can just help you a little bit in terms of the lifelong structure of the battery.
A lot of information here, and we'll post all this after the show so you can listen to Scott Kleinberg again on the Surratt Show page at WGNRadio.com, and then more next Tuesday. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you, Bob. Have a good week.